Okay, this coming Shabbos, we're going to have the wonderful opportunity to read Parshas Vayera, one of the great parshios of the basis of Jewish history. And of course, it begins Be'elonei Mamre, in the tents of Mamre. And Rashi explains that Mamre was the one who suggested the idea of following through on the bris. And so Davsekenu Mibalei HaTosfos wonder what kind of advice Avram Avinu needed, that they had to give him the advice. So in one of their answers, the Dasakenu Mibalei HaTosfos suggests that Avraham Avinu wasn't sure how to convince the other members of his household to do Milah. How is he going to convince them? And it was Mamre, says the Dasakenu, who told him that if he performs the Milah first on himself, then the members of his household will follow suit. So my friend, the great Rav of West Orange, Rav Eli Zwickler Shlita, quoted Rav Henoch Leibowitz, who notes that one could have presented the exact opposite argument. Technically speaking, he should have persuaded them first, because after the Milah, after all, Avraham Avinu should have been worried that he was going to be weak, and his ability to inspire others would therefore be limited. And so why does Mamre go ahead and advise the opposite, and why does Avraham Avinu bother to listen? So Rav Eli quotes in the name of Rav Henoch, who says that we see from here that the best way to teach and inspire is by being an example, even if it means a weakness, even if it means demonstrating that a person is less than 100% strong. Still, by turning around and being prepared, a person grows. Then, after the Malachim leave, HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks, and he tells him, V'Avram Haya, and he makes the declaration to the Malachim, to the Tzva Shamayim, V'Avram Haya, Hayo Yiyeh L'Goy Gadol V'Yatzum, V'Avram was going to be a huge nation. And Hashem's description of Avram's accolades at that point in time, Ki Yedaitiv L'man Yitzavis, B'no Vespeso Acharav, he's going to command his children, Laso Tzako Mishpat, all those accolades are all based on future matters that haven't taken place yet. So why would those things serve as a merit now in the present tense before God decides to tell him that he's going to destroy part of the world? So the Slonim Rebbe, the Nesiv HaShalom, explains that Hashem was so humble he didn't count his own Hashem saw that Avraham Avinu was so humble that he didn't count his own individuality as being significant. He was a person whose job it was to be there for the world, to be part of something much bigger than himself. And so therefore Hashem noted it wasn't Avram's own status that made him worthy, it was the fact that he was adopting this new style of Avodas Hashem, that of setting a precedent for future generations, a Masavo Simon Labanim, that made him singularly deserving of Hashem's benevolence. He was going to demonstrate that it's not about me, it's about the future. And he lived that way. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, since you're living that way, I should also just let you know all the zechusim that will happen in the future will be Nikroim al Shemecha. They're going to be called because of you. Sometimes in our lives, we also have to understand it's not just the zechusim that we achieve here, but the zechusim of the future. And by the way, it also follows suit that when we do things based on the lessons of those who lived before us, we are giving zechusim. That's one of the reasons why we say Kaddish. We are showing the previous generation, we're showing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that it's because of those who came before us that we live the way that we do. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu again makes that declaration, Ki Yedaitiv, because I know him. I know that he's going to command his children and his household to follow the example. Laso Tzako Mishpat. What is Laso Mishamru Derech Hashem? What is this Derech Hashem, Laso Tzako Mishpat? And how is Avraham Avinu supposed to teach this Derech Hashem? So the late great Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, Zechet Tzadik Levracha, the Rosh Hashiva of Har Etzion, the Rosh Kolol of the Gris Kolol, former Rosh Hashiva, Yeshivas Rabbeinu Yitzchak Yochanan, pointed out that the simplest way of understanding this expression is to interpret Derech Hashem as the attempt to imitate HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to behave in the way that he appears to us to have behave. And however, Rav Lichtenstein added that the Rambam assumes that the Derech Hashem is the golden mean, the middle ground. Rav Lichtenstein suggests that the Rambam learns this from the contrast of Tzedak U'Mishpat, as opposed to using the word Chesed U'Mishpat. And the Rambam is suggesting that a person who strives to exist in a constant state of religious ecstasy, who spends his entire life dancing in the streets with intense fervor, he may very well experience some lofty enough and uplifting moments in his divine service, but he's also likely to end up in less desirable states, for which he might medicate. A person who does not exercise any control over his spiritual level may reach levels that aren't suitable for him and fall into sin. And so in order to achieve lofty levels of religious upliftment, a person must first establish an orderly, structured way of life in which he controls his personality traits and characteristics. When a person lives like this, tzedakah u'mishpat, he's able at the appropriate time and place to elevate himself and achieve a very high level of loving HaKadosh Baruch Hu and cleaving to Him. So therefore, this life of moderation and control, having the Derech Hashem, allows one to achieve, in a controlled manner, some moments of extreme intensity, which serve to inspire him as he returns back to the life of moderation and control. You can't live as a constant state of borderline functioning. A person would be pinging around like a ping-pong ball. The person needs to find a way to have a regression towards the normal. That's the ideal. That's the Derech Hashem. That's the Derech HaMemutza. When one gets to that point, one's able to go beyond. Then we read about the destruction of the city of Sodom. And as the city of Sodom is being destroyed, the Malachim tell Lot, get out of here. Ki mashkisim anachnu. And the Torah tells us, Vayis ma'amo. And the Targum points out that that Lot delayed, Vayis ma'amo, means he really schlepped it out. And the trump of choice over here is, of course, the first Shalshalas, which indicates that there was a lot of tarrying on the part of Lot. And the late, great Mashgiach of Lakewood, Rav Nassim Tzvi Wachtfogel, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, points out that one of the lessons for success of Avraham and failure on the part of Lot is hidden over here. Avraham moved without delay. Lot, everything needed a break. And thus, although he learned in Avraham Avinu's home, and he learned how to act in Avraham Avinu's home, he didn't embody the message. And hence, although he did engage in Mesiras Nefesh for Chesed, he didn't run to do it. And so therefore, he could never be the Mamali Makom of Avraham Avinu. He would never be able to be just like Avraham. After that horrible, horrible incident of the destruction of Sodom and Amorah, we read, of course, about the incredibly sensitive topic of the daughters of Lot. And the Gemara and Baba Kama tells us they thought they were doing a mitzvah. And still Rashi tells us that the episode caused embarrassment to Avraham Avinu. What was it that they missed? They had such pure intentions. How could they make such an obvious mistake? So Maran HaRav Shachter Shlita explained to us that we cannot know in whose zechus a safety mechanism happens. One who's smaller doesn't see the whole picture. And that's what happened over here also. They felt that it was their zechus that they were saved. They did not know. That they assumed that it wasn't Avraham Avinu and it wasn't their father. It wasn't. It was not the case. It was because of Avraham, as the pasuk says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw Avraham Avinu, he remembered Avraham Avinu, Vayishalach es Lot, Vesbidosav, he sent out Lot. We need to make it our business, said Rav Shechter, to avoid thinking that it's about us and having a Messiah complex and not to cut corners. It can lead us to having terrible disaster. After the episode in Gerar, Sarah Imenu gives birth to a baby to Yitzchak, and she declares, Tzchok, Asali Elokim Kol HaShomei Yitzchak, Li HaKadosh Baruch Hu made me a laughter, and whoever should laugh should come laugh with me. And Rabbi Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev explains that the reason Hashem gave children to Avraham and Sarah in their old age was in order to make the effort greater, for there's no comparison between the joy of one who completes a hard-fought goal and to somebody who got it easily. And that's why the name Elokim, Tzchok Asali Elokim. That's why the name Elokim is used here instead of the one of Rachamim. This is also contained in another instance when David HaMelech declares, Odcha Kiani Sani, when I, Vatihili Lishua, right? You put me through a tough challenge at the beginning. But then I am able to offer you thanks because Me'es Hashem Haisazos. When it comes Kiani Sani, I recognize that it's Hashem's doing. It's harder to appreciate something that comes quite naturally. In the Akedas Yitzchak, we also discover something interesting. The pasuk tells us that Vayikach Eshneina Arav Imo Ve'es Yitzchak Beno. That on the way to the Akedah, Avraham Avinu took two lads and also Yitzchak. It sort of sounds like the Na'arim are more important to the storyline than Yitzchak. So why does the Torah mention the Na'arim first and Yitzchak afterwards? So Yaakov Tzvi Mecklenburg, the author of the Sefer Aksava Kabbalah, he explains that Avraham Avinu didn't take Yitzchak first. The reason why he didn't take Yitzchak first was that he didn't want the other ones to figure out that they were merely ancillary to the trip. But Rabbi Aaron Lim Shteiman Shlita adds that they were a necessary component to the departure, because after all, one can't go on the road without two escorts. It's not bekavadik, it's not the right way to travel. And so therefore, sometimes in life we need to go with messengers. We need to go with people who go ahead and join us. We don't need to neglect even the side people in the storyline. We need to know what their role is as well. Finally, this coming Shabbos we'll have the zechus to read the Haftorah from Malachim Beis, V'isha Achas Mibnei HaNevi'im. And Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, wondered why these stories in the Haftorah, both of which impact a single family as opposed to the nation as a whole, why are they included in the Navi at all? After all, Nevuah Ledoros is supposed to be recorded, says the Gemara Megillah, but these are not just Nevuah Ledoros, these are episodes that happened in a moment. So Rav Yaakov answered that we learn a valuable lesson over here, that a Navi is allowed to use supernatural means when necessary in the battle for faith. This doesn't mean that faith springs forth from the miracle. A person is not supposed to be able to go ahead and believe in the words of a Navi because the Navi performed a mofes. Quite to the contrary. Says Rav Yaakov, faith comes from the Masoris, from the Masorah Yoshua. But sometimes people need the ability to see a sign to return to the Masoris-based faith. And that's the reason these stories are here, to inspire those for whom supernatural faith restores faith in the Masorah. And therefore, these stories are here to remind us that, yes, these things are also part of some of the instances that happened with the Nevi'im as well. We look forward to attaching ourselves to the Masorah of the past so that we can continue to be a link towards our greater Jewish destiny. And we do so each and every week as we wish one another not only a Shabbat Shalom, but prayers and hopes to get each other and greet each other. B'yom Shekulo Shabbos U'Menucha L'Chaya Olamim. Shabbat Shalom to all.